Well, this evening I'll be preaching from Matthew chapter 13, but as we come to the word of the Lord, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and all that it tells us. But Lord, we know that we cannot understand it or hear it properly unless it is you that opens our hearts and our minds to receive it. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be amongst us and opening our hearts and softening our hearts, opening our ears and informing our minds, Lord, with your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you heard the gospel message before? I mean, have you really, really heard it? The gospel says that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. It says that we destined ourselves for time in eternity in hell for all of our sins. But by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, we can receive eternal life, all by the grace of God. So there it is again. But did you hear it? Did you understand it? Has that message actually taken up a place deep inside your heart? Because it needs to. Today, we are looking at one of the most famous parables in the New Testament, the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew chapter 13, and accompanying it is an explanation of why Jesus taught in parables, as well as an explanation of the parable itself. And these things are grouped together in the Gospel of Matthew, not just because they happened roughly around the same time, but because they actually go together. They talk about the same thing. One thing about preaching in different places is that sometimes you don't get to gather the context of what happened before this. So let me tell you a little bit about that. By the time we reach this point in Matthew, Jesus had already been preaching. He'd been performing miracles, doing all kinds of things about the countryside. And wherever he went, great numbers of people would gather, hoping for some more teaching or another miracle. But by this point, there now had been some real differences that were starting to show up in the way in which people responded to what he had to say. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law had taken to regularly attacking what Jesus was teaching. They had even surmised that because he used to work on the Sabbath by healing people and ending their suffering, that he was a sinner, and that the power that he showed couldn't possibly be from God if he was a sinner. Instead, they said that he was from the devil. Others had come to Jesus, and it didn't really matter how much he had taught them or what he had taught them. They just kept coming and looking to see more miracles. Show us another sign, they would say. They would like to hear him talk, but they wanted to see more. But out of everything that Jesus had said and everything that he had shown them, everything that he had done, nothing in them had changed. They were the same people, no new fruit in their lives, just the same hardened hearts. And while all that was going on, we come to chapter 13. And verse 1 says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is a beautiful story that Jesus tells. You can see in your mind clearly what is going on in the story. You can easily imagine a sower actually in the field throwing out the seed and falling in the right places and in the wrong places. You can imagine those birds flying down to the path and picking up that seed and taking it away. You can see that young shoot of a plant being choked as the weeds gather around it. And you can see that fruitfulness of that seed planted in the good soil. It's wonderful imagery. But what does it all mean? When the story has reached its conclusion, you expect him to explain what he's been talking about. But the crowds never get an explanation. It should have left them puzzled, and it probably did. I mean, you've probably heard this passage preached before, and you've heard the explanation we've had read out for us this evening already. So it's hard for us to imagine, perhaps, what it was like to be amongst that crowd, not hearing and understanding. Well, you could hear it. You could hear that story. You could see it. You could visualize it, but not really getting what it meant. There is no clear message. What is the seed? Who is the sower? Are the birds important in the story or not? In many ways, it's just a story of common sense. This is what would actually happen if a sower went out into a field and sowed seed. So what's the point of the parable? I would have thought that they would have understood that a deeper meaning was there, but without any explanation, that meaning would have passed them by. We wouldn't know what it meant unless we had that explanation. Without it, the people were being left in the dark. Now, Jesus, up to this point in his ministry, had been very open in his teaching. He was clear and precise. He was direct and authoritative. Even the scribes and the Pharisees who opposed him knew what he was talking about. But now Jesus taught in parables. He was deliberately leaving them in the dark. So his disciples ask him, what's going on? In verse 10 it says, and the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Here we see that there is a difference between those who were following Jesus and those who did not. Those who did not follow Jesus were not going to receive the explanation. They weren't going to understand these mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and instead their knowledge would be confused. Those who followed Jesus, his disciples, are to receive these mysteries of heaven. But what is it that makes the difference? Is it because they follow Jesus? Well, no, it doesn't say because you are my disciples, does it? Is it because they were better listeners? Well, no, it doesn't say that either. It doesn't say because you understood this or because you were smarter. Look at the words. It says they have this privilege only because it has been given to you to know. And kind of when you see that phrase in the Bible, it has been given that, dot, 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 it always means that that is what God himself has determined. It has been given by God the Father that these people should know and understand these things of the kingdom of heaven. God determined that these ones should know and then the others would not. And for all who are following Christ, these things are given to you to understand too, but only by the grace of God. And to those who it is given to understand, more will be given. More knowledge, more understanding. There will be an abundance of knowledge. But for those who it's not given to know, even what they have will be taken away. And so Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. He said, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. We heard this read out earlier. It's both from Matthew chapter 13, but also originally from Isaiah chapter 6. And that chapter speaks of when Isaiah was first called to be a prophet. And he came before that throne of God Almighty, who was surrounded by seraphim singing praises to God. And there the voice of the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Meaning, who will take my message to the people of Judah? And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And then the Lord said to him these words that Jesus has quoted. These are words spoken in respect to that ancient country. Right at the beginning of his ministry, Isaiah was told, "You are to prophesy to these people so that they will not understand, even though they hear, even though they see what's going on." And this is what Jesus is saying is true of these people too. These people had heard Jesus speak time and time again, and nothing was penetrating their hearts. Nothing was sinking in. And so now Jesus says what was true of ancient Judah is true of this people. By speaking in parables to them, Jesus confirms the condemnation of these people. By speaking in parables to them, they will fail to understand. They failed to hear already, but now they will hear even less. Now they will understand even less. They were already hard of heart, and now they will become harder of heart. These people were being given over to the hardness of their own hearts, and so the message of the kingdom of heaven was denied to them. It's an act of judgment upon those who would not listen. And what follows the failure to listen is judgment. But for those who follow Christ, Jesus says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." See, even the prophets and righteous people of old, like Isaiah, knew that a moment like this would come in history, that the promised Messiah would be there. But they never saw it clearly. They saw only shadows and glimpses. And it wasn't on their part a failure of faith or anything like that. It was just a matter of timing. Exactly what was going to happen was hidden from them. But now, before the disciples, is Jesus himself. And what was happening in Jesus and what the disciples got to see for themselves was the turning of the ages. The promised King of God's kingdom had arrived. The kingdom of heaven was visible. It could be heard in the words of Christ. It could be seen in the miracles that he performed. It could be seen in Jesus himself. Blessed indeed. Jesus therefore explains the parable to the disciples, for its secrets were not to be kept for them, and for all of you who are seeking out Christ and follow him, it is not to be kept from you either. And so Jesus in verses 18 to 23 gives an explanation. And what he says there is that the seed here is the gospel message. The message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that those who repent from their sins and turn to Jesus will not only find forgiveness but newness of life and life in eternity. The seed is that message. And the sower here is Jesus himself and anyone else he would send. And so what he's talking about is how his message will fall and how different people will respond in different ways to that message. Only one of the types of responses is fruitful. In Jesus' message, only one of these is truly born again. Only one of these bears the hallmarks of a person in the kingdom of God. Only one bears fruit. The seed that falls on the ground near the road represents those who don't even hear the gospel, not really. Like the ground beside the road that is hard packed, these are hard of heart. Their mind and their ears are closed. The message simply goes in one ear and out the other. And it's not a difficult task for the devil to come along and take away that message and replace it with one of his own. The seed that falls on the rocky ground seems to take hold at first, and some people hear the gospel message and they seem to understand the benefit of it. They get all excited about it. They've heard the message. But like a plant with no root, the message never really penetrates deeply enough. The message is welcomed for a time, but as soon as things get difficult, the gospel message to them becomes an embarrassment and is quickly discarded. For people like this, the gospel is a fad, something that takes their interest only for a time. They might like the good bits, eternal life, the love of God, love for one another, forgiveness for sins. But the harder parts, like repentance, obedience, persecution for the sake of Christ, as these things hit home, the gospel is all too hard. And the truth is that they never really understood that gospel message. It never really got deep enough. Similarly, the seed that falls amongst the weed represents those who seem to accept the message, but for them, it never becomes a priority. For them, they might have understood the message in part, but Christ never was placed on the throne of their heart. The things of this world continue to worry them. And for people like this, living in the world full of other things to worship, like money, wealth, power, career, comfort in life, possessions, all these things rank higher in their hearts. You see, things don't, for them don't even need to go wrong. The message of Christ just sits very low in their list of priorities in life. And so they never truly come to Christ and they remain unfruitful. The only seed that becomes fruitful is the one where the seed falls on ground that has been properly prepared. There the ground has been ploughed, the hard surface broken up and the weeds and the rocks removed. People like this have been prepared by God to receive his word. Their ears and their eyes have been opened. Their minds have become receptive to the gospel and their hearts have been opened to receive it. The message then penetrates deeply and there the message becomes fruitful. A life is changed. Spiritual fruit is born. Love for God, love for neighbour, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There are different ways in which people respond to the gospel, but none of it will be effective unless that seed is planted deep in the heart. Unless your heart is prepared to receive the gospel, you might get excited about it. You might even hear it properly, but it will never take root. And as soon as your world shakes, you will leave it behind. And this is sad because it means you've really misunderstood the message. Because it's a message of salvation. It's what saves you. It's a message of eternal life. It's a message that should mean everything to us, and yet so many won't receive it. But like the soil in the field can never plough itself, so too we cannot prepare our own hearts. This is in the hands of God. It is God who enables the seed to grow. It is God that can soften that ground. It is God who can strengthen that plant to survive the thorns that would strangle it. It is God who changes the heart of the people we know. And so we must always seek his help, both for ourselves and for those we seek to reach with the gospel. If you find that Christianity has been on and off for you, or if Christ doesn't seem to have taken up a permanent place in your heart, I want you to know that if you truly desire to submit to him and have him for your Saviour and Lord, that God will not withhold that from you. Jesus says, "Knock and the door will be opened to you." The mere fact that you are ready to knock says that the Lord has already ploughed the depths of your heart to receive his word. And if you know someone that you love who has not yet received the word, and sharing the gospel with them is like sowing seed along the roadside, or sowing seed in rocky ground or amongst the thorn bushes. Then seek the help of the Lord. Pray for them. Because it is by the will of the Lord that the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are given to people. And that hardened heart can only be prepared by the Lord. But ground that was once hard can be made soft. Ground that was once rocky can be made good. The Lord God can do it. In the context of this passage, the message is about how the gospel message is meant to be received. But the same problems, though to a lesser extent, plague those already in Christ. Is your life as fruitful as it should be in Christ? Are you producing a crop 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold? The life of a Christian is meant to be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in the life of every Christian. But these same problems that prevent others from coming to Christ at all can stop you from being fruitful as a Christian. Because you can harden your heart to God's word for you. You, for example, could say to yourself that you are everything that God meant you to be. And God ought to be happy with who you are. And then every time the word is preached and you ought to hear it and apply it in your own life, you shut your eyes and you close your ears. So this is why we pray before we preach. We pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to take hold of us and open our ears and our eyes, to give us understanding. Because without his help, we can be deaf to God's word. Persecutions and difficult times can cause the faithful to stumble too. In those difficult times, you might doubt God's goodness. Those times might cause you to think that God is not really on your side, or that somehow you are not enough for him. And sometimes we don't even notice how we've placed a higher priority on something else in the world. We can be guilty of seeking worldly happiness and forgetting that our treasures really are in heaven, nowhere else. We can forget that our hopes are in what is to come in eternity rather than what is simply around the next corner. But have a look at this parable of the sower. The seed that fell on the ground produced fruit, and a lot of it. There are options given there. Some produce 30, some produce 60, some produce 100. Not everybody is as fruitful as the next person, but there is no one of good soil who has no fruit. And everyone has an abundance. If the seed falls on ground that has been prepared, there will be fruit. There are different ways in which the faithful can deny the word of God still. You can harden your heart against it. Persecutions can cause you to stumble. The worries of this world can compete for your heart. All of these things can stop you from being fruitful in your life from time to time. But if you are in Christ, there will be fruit. If there are trials in your life, but the Spirit is at work in you, then you will come through it. In fact, often during trials and difficulties, the faith of a Christian is strengthened instead of being weakened. If you are in Christ, you will be changed and you will be fruitful. And now, where we were totally dependent on God to prepare our hearts to receive the gospel, we are still totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to help us to become as fruitful as we should be in Christ. And so if you are struggling in your life as to how you are growing in Christ, then there is only one place to go: seeking the Lord in prayer and asking for his help, seeking the Lord in his word and submitting to his commands, seeking help through others in fellowship and finding encouragement. When God has opened your heart, God will make you fruitful. In order to be saved, that gospel message needs to take up a place in your heart. God prepares the hearts of people to receive his word. Only those who receive this message deep in the root of their being will not throw it away for worldly priorities. Only those whose hearts have taken up this word will remain fruitful despite persecutions. And so if you have not yet received this message in your heart, may God open your ears and your mind and plough the depths of your heart so you can receive it today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the promises that we have from you in Christ. Lord, we know that it is only you that can open our hearts and our minds, and only you that can open the hearts and minds of those that we love. Lord, we ask that you are active in us and in all those we know, Lord. We ask that you plough the depths of our heart and soften our hearts. Remove from our lives those things that cause us to choke the gospel and prevent us from being fruitful as we should be. Help us, Lord, to grow in those fruits of the Spirit. Help us to grow in holiness. And Lord, for those that we care about that have not yet seen the message, who have not yet received your message in the depths of their heart, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that you would open their hearts and their minds to receive your message too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.